You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We'll talk to Woj coming up on loan from the mothership. Trade deadline approaching. What do these contenders do? Nets do anything? Lakers do anything? Kyle Lowry on the move? Who else could be on the move? We'll talk to Woj about that, and also the rumors about Brad Stevens maybe leaving the Celtics to go to Indiana, which I don't think is going to happen. Said that from the outset. Thought it would be crazy if he left the Celtics, but the rumors are still kind of lingering there a little bit. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Iowa's out. Kansas got blown out. You got Oregon, Gonzaga, UCLA, USC, Creighton, Michigan, Florida State, Bama, all advance. Six more lawsuits against Deshaun Watson. And as I said yesterday, a source told me, just keep an eye on if criminal charges are brought against Deshaun Watson. You know, the civil lawsuits, easier to prove. But if there's criminal charges, then the NFL gets involved. The NFL could then put Deshaun Watson on the commissioner's exempt list. Now, there's no games, obviously, for a long time. But if there were games, I was told yesterday, if this was September, he'd be put on the commissioner's exempt list. Because then you kind of put him to the side, as we've seen with Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, and we never knew about that commissioner's exempt list. But it could come back here if this goes on with Deshaun Watson. Also, what happens with the draft as well? Because are the Texans more likely to now want to trade him, but they can't trade him, as before they didn't want to trade him, but he wanted out? But this situation difficult a month ago, even more difficult now because of the legalities that are involved in this, the legal hurdles of trying to trade Deshaun Watson with what's going on. And the attorney who is representing these women says there's more to come here. And it feels like starting to separate, there's a further divide on guilt or innocence. As I plead with you and people in my industry, patience with this, no jump to conclusion, rush to judgment on this. It certainly doesn't look good at all. But I want to hear both sides on this. And we should hear both sides on this. Deshaun Watson hasn't said anything. He had not denied it, but his attorney, Rusty Harden, who has represented a lot of athletes over the years in lawsuits, they've come out and said that, you know, basically categorically wrong, every one of these. Let's let it all play out. The football part of this is what I'm covering. What do the Texans do? What can they do? If you're a team that's interested in Deshaun Watson, do you still keep that possibility afloat? Those are the things to keep an eye on. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. NFL teams get in big trouble with draft measurables. McLovin just sent me something about Rondale Moore. He is listed at 5'7". Now, he's the Purdue kick returner, kind of do-it-all, like a Tyreek Hill type of player. And he had his pro day at Purdue. He was listed at 5'9". It turns out he's 5'7". What happened? I don't know if that's breaking news, but I'm just using that as a reference point. Are you happy, Paulie?
No, I just think other people are treating it like it's a drastic change for Rondale Moore's life.
5'9", but he's actually 5'7". But how many times have we done this? We overrate the big guy, underrate somebody who's too short. And that's why Aaron Donald fell to 13 with the Rams. The Seahawks got Russell Wilson in the third round. And when it comes to a receiver, there's no one perfect body type. Because you would say, well, Julio Jones, Larry Fitzgerald. But most guys are either big possession guys, small speedsters. You know, Devontae Smith, he weighs 170. Told reporters he's 6'1", 170. Deshaun Jackson, 175. Odell Beckham Jr., 198. Stephon Diggs, 191. Tyreek Hill, 185. Hollywood Brown, 180. Smith outproduced all of those players in college. But teams have to wonder, can he hold up? If he's your number one receiver, can he hold up? But then keep in mind, overvaluing measurables can lead to a lot of mistakes. And everything we've seen with Devontae Smith is pretty impressive, no matter how much he weighs. At 170, what will he eventually be? Because he's not going to be 170 when his career is over. Can he be 190? Is that good enough? And we've seen this before. Tyler Lockett is very successful. Tyler Lockett was viewed as just a return guy at Kansas State. Now he's turned into a very good wide receiver. You can have DK Metcalf, but you can have Tyler Lockett all in the same roster. Now, Antonio Brown, Julian Edelman. Can you play football? That's what I want to know. There are guys who look the part, act the part, talk the part. They don't play the part. Kelvin Benjamin is one of the more impressive guys I ever saw on a football field. I don't think he's in the league anymore. Mike Williams at USC. When I saw him on the field, that's when I was glad that I never played football at any high level. Looked like a basketball team. But I go back to somebody like Steve Smith in Carolina. Steve Smith, underrated. Too small, maybe not fast enough. All he did is catch. He caught whatever you threw. Played a whole lot bigger than what he is. But we get caught up in the, oh, that guy is not. My quarterback's, he's 5'9". My quarterback's 6 foot. My quarterback's not 6'5". My running back doesn't run this. My running back runs upright. Like, you talk yourself out more than you talk yourself in. Now, it does happen occasionally. You know, the Giants talk themselves into Daniel Jones. The Bears talk themselves into Mitchell Trubisky. But in the process, you had to talk yourself out of Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. I'm all for buying into who your guy is. But when you eliminate somebody, you talk yourself out of it. We didn't look at what Mahomes did well. We look at what he didn't do well. Deshaun Watson the same way. Whereas Mitchell Trubisky, his upside wasn't, you know, glaring. It wasn't there on full display. But he didn't have any negatives. So it's almost like a safe pick. And that's dangerous at the quarterbacking position. Because look across the board. You know, you can have Ben or Brady, Breeze, but then you can have Kyler, and you can have Russell. Then you can have Josh Allen. History is littered with GMs, teams who make these decisions at that position, and they look at the measurables. I just want to know, do you love football? Do you care? Do you want to be there every day? Do you eat, sleep, drink football? It's the most important thing in your life. And that's what's hard to find out with a measurable. It's the intangibles that make a great quarterback, in my opinion. Because Peyton Manning did not have a great arm. And he couldn't win the big game in college. Okay. Tom Brady. All right. He was okay at Michigan. Didn't look great at the combine. Does he want to get great? The guys who get to the NFL and then realize now the challenge begins. Those are the guys. Like, does Devontae Smith love football? Does he study football? Does he know football? Those are important things. I would want to know that. And you know that when you go to the combine, you get to sit down and you get to talk to these players. I got to understand, can my quarterback, if I give him information, can he process that in real time? In 15 seconds? Because that's what it takes. That's where you're trying to figure this out, and that's why it's always going to be a moving target. Yeah, McLevin.
I think it's really hard with the quarterbacks now because there was this trend towards shorter guys, and then Josh Allen and Justin Herbert come along. Now, is there going to be a trend towards the taller guys again?
Well, Joe Burrow is 6'3", 6'4". Oh, yeah.
He was very tall when we had him in.
Yeah. But Josh Allen is a big guy.
But Matt Baker and Kyler Murray went one, you know, and they're both not tall at all.
Yeah. It depends on who your coach is, offensive philosophy, offensive coordinator, offensive line, what are your weapons? I've said before, and it's I know it's not meant to take anything away from Patrick Mahomes, but if I would have put him on Jacksonville the last 2 years, he'd be just a curiosity. He wouldn't have signed a $450 million deal. He got an experienced coach, offensive-minded coach. He's got unbelievable offensive weapons. At the time, they had a great offensive line, opportunistic defense, and it all falls into place. But I've seen too many players who have talent who go to bad rosters, and they get into bad habits, and then they never survive. But if Sam Darnold, let's say he was on the Chiefs. Let's say he was drafted by the Chiefs and had the same lineup. We're going to look at Sam Darnold differently than we do with him with the Jets. Just are. We're going to find out about Daniel Jones this year. Because if you got Saquon Barkley back and you brought in Kenny Golladay, see, now you have some weapons here. Now let me see what you have. But these quarterbacks who go to the right situation, if Baker Mayfield doesn't have Kevin Stefanski there, I don't know if he's going to still be with the Browns or if they had moved on. But he brought in, you know, they brought in a head coach who did a great job with Baker Mayfield. But where you go and who the talent is around you is so important, and it's so underrated because Russell Wilson had the best defense in football, and we didn't really count on him to do anything. He just sort of had to manage a game. Now the defense goes away, and we want to see Russ cook. Well, doesn't have a great offensive line. DK Metcalf has developed. Tyler Lockett out of nowhere developed as well. They still want to run the football. But Russ was more dangerous when you had a defense that was that great. Now, he can put up offensive numbers, but Seattle is a non-threatening 12-4 team. But going to these teams, you know, Brady at least had a great defense. Belichick always made sure he had a great defense there. And then, so what did Tom have to do? Just enough. And then they decided they could get Randy Moss. Then all of a sudden, you know, you got two tight ends who are great. Now we're going crazy. Now we're pass happy, and now we can put up some big numbers here. It's just timing of all of this. Like, Joe Burrow may turn out to be a good quarterback, not great, because he went to Cincinnati. You know, Justin Herbert with the Chargers. Can the Chargers be healthy, get out of their own way, and be a contender? I don't know. But these quarterbacks, if you put them in different situations, you would probably see a sizable, you know, improvement, jump in how people view them. Like, that's really what it comes down to. There are very few quarterbacks where you say he can do everything on his own. They need help. Yeah, McClellan.
Who are some guys that were, like, so good? Like, Elway, I think, is the one you point to that goes beyond. Are some guys so good that they can overcome bad situations? It's actually pretty rare.
Elway never had a Pro Bowl player on offense prior to when they won the Super Bowl.
Those offensive linemen? I guess that was later.
The only guy that he may have had was Gary Zimmerman. That was it. He didn't have anybody. None. And then they would go to the Super Bowl and get blown out. But then they got Terrell Davis. Then all of a sudden things changed. They got Shannon Sharp. Like, then things changed. So you have to have these weapons. I don't care how good you are. This isn't a singular league where you go, my guy can go out there. You know, Josh Allen, he got Stephon Diggs. It was huge for him. Cam had Steve Smith in Carolina. Like, you got to have somebody there. And that's why when you draft these quarterbacks, Trey Lance may be an unbelievable talent. I don't know where he's going to go. But if he goes to Philadelphia, you don't have anybody there right now. So, Justin Fields, I don't know where he's going. He could get lucky and go later in the first round and go to a team that he eventually takes over, and they have some talent there. You know, could end up Pittsburgh and they take him or something. You might see Sam Darnold end up in San Francisco with those weapons and Kyle Shanahan's offense. All right, now you have something there. And maybe you get a true sense of just who Sam Darnold is. But there's a lot of luck that goes into greatness at that position. And the measurables we get caught up, we get blinded by. We stumble on it. Yeah, Paulie.
I got a one line against the grain for you, if you'll permit me.
A one liner. Okay.
All right. So I don't need music. From Against the Grain Productions, I was watching the morning show, The Get Ups, today,
yeah.
And Dan Orlovsky was fighting a battle with the other people on the crew, saying that Mac Jones does not fit in the NFL because he may not fit in the NFL, might not be someone you'd want to take too high, because Mac Jones of Alabama is not a physical presence, doesn't run, not athletic, not in great shape. Mm. He is a classic old-school drop-back quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Orlovsky is saying that's what you do want. And I agree. I was thinking, do you want a running quarterback in today's NFL? I know it's popular. I know it's cool. I know it looks good. But to win, is the drop-back quarterback still the thing? If you go back the past 20 Super Bowls, I think almost all of them won by drop-back quarterbacks, going back to Dilfer, Brady, Brad Johnson, Peyton, Eli, Drew Brees, Foles. Then you got mobile-ish quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, and true elusive quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls in the past two decades are Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes. And Mahomes is more of a drop-back scrambler.
I want mobility. I don't need a running quarterback.
I need
somebody who has the threat of running, but I don't want you running as much as can you stay, keep a play alive, mobility, athleticism, not the ability to, you know, Lamar Jackson one day, we're going to come in on a Monday and we're going to go, yep, figured it was going to happen at some point. He's going to get hit because that's his best weapon. Now, I have to use that weapon as long as I can, but that's not what I want at that position. If you can find Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson athleticism, that's what I want. Keep plays alive. Scramble when you need to. Russ doesn't run in the first three quarters, three and a half quarters. He runs a whole lot in the fourth quarter. Yeah, Paul.
It's just they compare Mac Jones to Tom Brady, which is weird, but it makes sense from, you know, they're not physical specimens. You know, Brady Quinn was a physical specimen. It didn't help him on the football field. You know, it's. I think that Mac Jones, I don't know if he's going to be good or great, but his lack of mobility is actually a positive. I would want my quarterback to be more of a statue than a runner.
Yes, McLovin.
I just want to be clear what's going on here, by the way. You just did a 10-minute system quarterback argument, then Paulie stole my 2016 against the grain mobile, unmillable quarterbacks win the Super Bowl touchdown. And your system quarterback argument was more eloquent than anything I've ever had.
Why is
and
that?
I'm sorry to pull this, but I have said that thing about immobile quarterbacks before. I totally agree with Paulie. But I don't know, though. I think the trend might have changed. Is it possible that what Paulie's saying is 2 years dated and things have changed?
But trends never last, hence trend. Tom Brady is not a trend. His lack of mobility helps him in every way. He avoids hits for a living. That's what he does. He avoids hits and delivers footballs. And if I'm a wide receiver, I want to play with a non-scrambler. That's what he does. Avoiding hits.
That's just what we do. Avoid hits and deliver footballs.
Yeah.
What's his name? Peyton Manning. When he would run past the line of scrimmage, it looked like a giraffe being chased by a bear. You know, he doesn't run. That's not what he does. I deliver footballs. That's what I do.
This program is
back to you.
Brought to you by Peacock, The Office on Peacock. Every episode, you can stream it free through March 24th, whether you know all the lines or you're a newbie to Scranton. You'll find something you love. Sign up at PeacockTV.com and start streaming now. Get to phone calls coming up. Adrian Wojnarowski on loan from the Mothership will join us coming up next. The NBA trade deadline. Lakers do anything. Sixers. The Nets. The Brad Stevens rumors of leaving the Celtics to go to Indiana. So a few things to talk to Woj about. And I hope you'll stay with us 20 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you can get your podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans that go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for any... So, go the extra mile. Take the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. ESPN senior NBA insider, host of the Woj podcast. You can catch Woj on ESPN and ABC's NBA Countdown. And Woj joining us on the program. Woj, give me the deal that you think has to happen.
Aaron Gordon, I think, in Orlando. Dan, I think he's ready to move on. I think the team is ready to get what they can get back for him. So I think there's a I would be shocked, really, at this point if he's not moved by Thursday's deadline. And, you know, there's a number of teams interested in him. And, you know, listen, they'll probably take it down to wire on Thursday and see what's the best offer that they can find out there for him.
Is there a move that could be in the process of being made that could change the power structure as we head, you know, down the home stretch here? Woj is frozen right now. We'll see if we can get him back. Up in his, look like he was up in his attic there.
That's where all the magic happens.
Is that where it is?
Yeah, all the info is just flowing into that dormered attic.
Nobody's allowed to go into the attic there.
That's why he froze, because there's just so many messages. He's getting them right now about all of the stuff that's happening.
Mm. Well, it takes us back to when we were in the attic at my house. All the great shows that we did up there.
Beautiful views.
It was fun. I thought that brought us together. You know, we had small space there. Friendly confines, I like to. But that might have been the best sounding shows that we ever did.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was very good. By the way, sign up for the DP Show newsletter, available daily at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Go to danpatrick.com. Enter your email address in the box that slides out in the bottom right corner. And you're good to go. Mario will send you out. It's basically a recap of the show and some specials on there that we have. Gives you a little bit more of a heads up on what we're doing on the program. Future guest, also T-shirt specials, and a couple other things that's coming up if you signed up for the DP Show newsletter. McLovin, update the poll results if you can.
Okay. If you're a Michigan fan, would you rather win the basketball title this year or beat Ohio State in football next year? 61% said basketball this year.
Okay. If I asked this question in November, though, might be different. Yes, Seton.
I was going to say, while you were mentioning the T-shirts, our Luka Iowa shirts are on sale today.
Oh.
Just want to move some of those.
Our timing is not always great.
Well, it's the thought that counts.
I know. Actually, you can't blame us. I got to blame Luka Garza and Iowa. They're the ones.
Dude, he dropped 36.
I know. Yeah, he played as much defense as I did.
Whoa.
I've never seen a team play worse defense. Well, I have, but I was like, there's no defense being played. Is Woj with us there, Todd?
He is.
Oh, okay. Woj is back. All right, Woj. So the very important question I ask is there a deal that could be made that might change a bigger picture here with these teams come playoff time?
You know, there's not a star out in this marketplace, this trade deadline, but I think there's players who can impact contenders. I think the two teams, Toronto with Kyle Lowry and Orlando, you know, again, we talked about Aaron Gordon, but I think Toronto really is the team that may dictate this deadline, because Kyle Lowry and Norman Powell, you know, are two good players that they have. And certainly I think if Kyle Lowry ends up in a Philly or a Miami, you know, that's certainly, I don't know if all of a sudden Brooklyn thinks, hey, you know, we're still not the best team in the East. But that can be impactful, and it's going to be guys like Lonzo Ball in New Orleans and, you know, Victor Oladipo in Houston. Those are all players available and, you know, who all may very well move before Thursday.
What do the Lakers do with AD down and LeBron out, if anything?
Well, they've wanted to get certainly more size. They may not be able to do it in the trade market. The buyout market might be the place where obviously the Lakers could improve without having to give anything up, because they may, if you're going to make a trade, you want to be able to improve, and you can't always do that when you're giving something up. So Andre Drummond in Cleveland, if he ends up getting a buyout, if he's not moved at the trade deadline, which I think it's unlikely because of his contract, and he gets into the buyout market, he's certainly somebody who they are focused on and want to bring in there. He'd become their starting center. And so that's going to be impactful. You're going to see a lot of guys, and guys who don't get traded in that buyout market. And you saw the Clippers create another spot to be able to add a player in the buyout market. They have two roster spots. Brooklyn's going to continue to be active there. And, so I think for the Lakers, though, listen, they just need to get AD and LeBron healthy. And you know that they're not going to fear in the first round having to go on the road in a series. They know they can beat anybody if they're healthy. And so I think playoff position for them is less important. They just have to get their two best players back healthy. And I mean, just imagine if you're the Jazz or you're the Suns, and you have just this tremendous season, you're a 2 seed or a 3 seed or the 1 seed, and all of a sudden you show up in the playoffs in game one and there's a healthy LeBron and AD dribbling into the building. It's not ideal.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Could this be a good thing for the Lakers from the standpoint of now LeBron is forced to rest, whereas it felt like he was hell-bent on resting because he wanted to show the rest of the league he doesn't do load management and he wants to win another MVP?
Well, the high ankle sprain, listen, that's a tough injury and it can linger. And so I don't know if it's a good thing. I think, though, for the Lakers, their timelines can't change. Their timelines certainly can't change with AD because LeBron's out. They can't, and they won't rush him back. But they can lose a lot of ground in the West, and you don't want to fall. It's going to be a climb in the postseason, however they look at it. I mean, they're going to be a team that's probably going to have to go on the road in the first round, and we'll see how. Listen, in this, there'll be fans in buildings. It may not be what typically it's like to go on the road in the postseason. It may not be buildings that are full, but there'll be some capacity. And I think that softens the blow of having to go on the road in the postseason. But yeah, I think for LeBron, he's just always shown an incredible capacity to heal, to play through injury, and to just be able to come back quicker than others can. But with this one, this is going to be a few weeks.
Kyrie leaves for 3 games. Do we know what's going on? I know he said it's personal, but is this something that will continue this season?
No, this was an absence that they're fully on board with and is just sort of the normal sort of family thing. They said family matters. There's no backstory on this of, hey, we're not, they knew what it was and it's not an issue.
Can LaMelo Ball win the Rookie of the Year if he's done for the rest of the season?
It's a good question. Has he played enough games? I think Anthony Edwards he's been so good in Minnesota, and I don't know how all the things people take into consideration when they vote. I think certainly LaMelo improved that team. That team played, they were in the playoff chase largely, him and Gordon Hayward. We're in that top eight in the Gordon Hayward in that top eight in the East. But Edwards has played so well over the last few weeks. I think that he's, he could finish strong and steal it. But LaMelo, I think the kind of rookie year he had and the kind of just revelation he was in the league and for that franchise, I think it'll probably still be close. I don't think it's out of the question he can win it, but I think Edwards has come on strong enough that he's going to probably have a case to be made just because of how much more he'll have played by the time people are voting.
What would you tell anybody who thinks there's a chance or thought there was a chance Brad Stevens would leave the Celtics for the Indiana Hoosiers, Joe?
Yeah, it's just, you talk to coaches who've coached in both levels, and there's nobody who would rather be in college basketball than the NBA. That even Now, listen, there are assistant coaches in the NBA who become college candidates, largely because they're not sure if the NBA head coaching is in their future or they could go back to it. Maybe they've been a head coach, and you know, a couple of the guys interviewing for the University of Utah job are NBA assistants. But anybody who's in the NBA will only go back to college if they're forced to, if they're not welcome in the NBA anymore. And Brad Stevens, no matter how much money Indiana offers him, listen, if Brad Stevens somehow left the Celtics, if someday he gets fired in Boston, and I think he's going to be there a long time. He's not getting fired. He'll be a head coach somewhere else. Billy Donovan left Oklahoma City. It never dawned on Billy Donovan. Like, Billy Donovan could have any college job he wanted. Somebody would fire their coach to hire Billy Donovan in college. Never dawned. He's an NBA coach now. He goes to Chicago. He would have had plenty of other offers. Mm. Brad Stevens will be an NBA head coach as long as he wants to be. It's just not something anybody would choose to do. And, you know, Brad Stevens at Indiana, I know at Indiana they wanted to believe he'd come back. It's just not an appealing compared to the NBA. It's just not an appealing lifestyle. It's not an appeal. It's not an appealing the recruiting, the portal, all the things that have changed in college basketball, constantly having to retool that roster every year. People would prefer to be in the NBA.
I'm trying to, you know, make out what Steve Kerr is bringing up. He was on a podcast and he talked about, and I'm paraphrasing here and that's dangerous, but he was talking about, you know, the enjoyment of a team that won 15 games and coaching them, as opposed to that last year when Durant was there. Durant then commented saying it's hilarious that he would think that, but like how much acrimony or drama was there that we really didn't know about with the Warriors that Kerr would say, you know, I get to go back to just teaching, coaching, or, you know, these players in the NBA, even though we're losing.
Yeah, Dan, I didn't go back and listen to that podcast, so I don't know the context of what he was saying. So without knowing exactly the context of, there was a broader point. I saw what Steve said in his news conference last night, that it was taken completely out of context. It was a difficult year. I think it was a difficult year for Kevin Durant, for Steve Kerr. I think there was a lot of tension around that team. But whether it was more enjoyable to coach a 15-win team, I don't know if that's what Steve said. Again, I didn't listen to the whole thing. But I do think it was pretty well documented that, you know, that was not the strongest relationship within the organization. But I mean, that's kind of true of a lot of teams and a lot of players and coaches. And at the end of the day, you're judged on the results. They had incredible results with Durant and Steve Kerr together. And,
but why did it go bad though, Woj? Like you, I don't know. It felt like Draymond Green was onto something early where he knew that Kevin Durant was going to be leaving and wasn't, you know, one of the guys. But I mean, you had something there. I don't know how sustainable it was going to be, but when did it go wrong in Golden State?
I think that just Kevin went there at a time in his career where the Warriors allowed him to win a championship, to win finals MVP. He built sort of his off-court business in Northern California, and then he was ready for something else. He wanted to have a team that was his. He wanted to come east, and Brooklyn was attractive to him, and he wanted to play with Kyrie Irving, and he got the chance to do that. I just think it's a different time in the league where all of us would look and say, well, why wouldn't you just want to stay together? Why wouldn't you want to just keep winning with that group? But that's not the league anymore, and you have to maximize these window of times when you have these teams together, because not just in Golden State, but whether it was in Miami or anywhere else, if it's the Brooklyn Nets now, how long does that group want to continue to play together if they win a title or two titles? That's just the reality of the league. I think the Warriors generally maximize that window. They might have won a title in the last year, if not for the injuries, but Toronto beat them. So I just think it's not just a Golden State question. I think it's a large, broader question for the whole league, and it's a league of constant movement, and there's not always great staying power in any situation, and that's the league now.
I know things are going to get busy for you, Woj. We appreciate you joining us as always, and thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
That's Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN senior NBA insider, host of the Woj podcast. You can catch Woj on ESPN and ABC's NBA Countdown. We'll come back. I'm going to play these comments by Steve Kerr as he tried to put it in context of what he was saying, and was he being critical of Kevin Durant? Because Durant thought that, but we'll bring back some of those comments right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. We'll get some phone calls coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Jim Boeheim and his son Buddy together tomorrow on the program. Jim Parsons, who's leading our celebrity bracket challenge. And Chris Mannix wants to join us. Mannix is going to try to convince me that there is another MVP candidate out there. He texted the show at midnight last night. He's going to try to convince us Rudy Gobert should be in the conversation for MVP. So we'll talk to Mannix tomorrow. Steve Kerr was on the Real Ones podcast, and he said he enjoyed last season when they had a 15-50 record more than he did the final year when the Warriors went to the finals. Dan Schiller, who works for NBC Sports Bay Area, tweeted the following. Steve Kerr told the show he enjoyed last season when the Warriors went 15-50 more than Kevin Durant's final season with the Warriors. And then KD responded with the tweet, "This is hilarious." Now, the issue is Steve Kerr never mentioned Kevin Durant by name on the podcast. Let me play that clip first, and then we'll play what Kerr then followed up with.
I enjoyed last season when we had the worst record in the league more than I enjoyed that last season when we went to the finals, because we had young guys last year who were trying every day and working hard. We had a great energy, great spirit, great camaraderie, and losing sucked. But you want to look forward to going to the gym every day and seeing everybody. And that last year was tough. There was just a lot going on, some that you know about, some that you don't. And that was very difficult.
Kerr was not happy about the tweet that was sent out by Dan Schiller, and he tried to put it in context yesterday at a press conference.
Drew Schiller decided to tweet today that Steve Kerr said he enjoyed last season more than Kevin Durant's last year with the Warriors. Okay, so I want to make this extremely clear. If you want to actually get the story accurate, I encourage you to listen to the podcast before we sort of take this story into offshoots and use that as my quote, because that is the furthest thing from the truth. It was a terribly unfair shot, completely taking something out of context to the point where people are going to read it and think that that was my quote. And to take that comment and put it into a tweet and send it out into the universe was so irresponsible and damaging.
By the way, it's Drew Schiller. E-me, I had Dan Schiller there working for NBC Sports Bay Area. But Kerr saying that he did not say Kevin Durant, but that was what was inferred in the tweet, that he enjoyed that season more than Kevin Durant's final season with the Warriors. Then Kevin Durant responded to that tweet by saying, "This is hilarious." Yes, Eden.
So while Steve Kerr didn't mention Kevin Durant's name, it was Kevin Durant's last season that they're referring to, that he's saying was tough.
Yeah.
It was actually Kevin Durant's last season.
Well, I would have hoped that somebody said, well, what was the toughest part of that season that you went to the NBA Finals with? Because then maybe he gets into the weeds a little bit and says, you know what, well, we weren't having fun, or the chemistry, or we knew it was Kevin's last year, whatever it is. You know, now we're forced to kind of read into what exactly is he saying on this. And he's calling out the person who sent out the tweet. That kind of takes away from what Steve is really saying. And it sounds like that last year with Kevin Durant, not any fun. That I'd rather coach a team that won 15 games. It sounds like there's a couple of messages in here. Yeah, Paulie.
Drew Schiller, the reporter, did say that he shouldn't have characterized it that way. And he said he took it a little bit out of context, and he has talked to Kerr about it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, McLovin.
Everybody knows that year was difficult. It's very well documented.
But Steve, I know. I just think that Steve knows with Kevin Durant that this is going to bring drama, and Durant hears everything. And but, Steve wants to be fair to, it was difficult. I would have asked what was so difficult. Why was it so difficult? But if you put Kevin Durant's name in there, then all of a sudden it'll get to Kevin Durant eventually. And then Durant feels like, oh, okay, so it was just me. And I'm the reason why it was really difficult. And that's why he said this is hilarious. What if Steve Curtis said, yeah, you were difficult. It wasn't any fun. Yeah, McLovin.
Well, I'd like to see Steve Kerr maintain that level of perfection when he gets back into the media and someone calls him out. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm sorry. He was in the media. He should give guys a break over something like that. He said it was, what did he say? It was like egregious and this
reckless
terrible act.
And dangerous.
Dangerous?
It wasn't reckless and dangerous. But, okay. You took poetic license. You took liberties there by inserting Kevin Durant's name in there. Now, if you would have said, hey, who do you think Steve's talking about? I would have said Kevin Durant. Or how the other players, they viewed Kevin Durant. Or the fact that Draymond Green knew that Kevin Durant was out of there. But if you put it, okay, it's not egregious and, Steve's got to lighten up a little bit there. Yeah, Steve.
Not only is it not reckless and egregious, it's factually correct.
Yes.
The tweet.
Yes, McLeod.
It possible Steve feels a little extra guilty and defensive because he gave up the goods to Raja Bell. He was probably too relaxed on that podcast and is embarrassed by saying that. It's not a normal. He's just super cool with the press usually.
Well, I guess we're surprised that you win 15 games and you had more fun, or you enjoyed that more than when you went to the NBA Finals. That's what's surprising. No matter how bad it is. Now, if they had won the title, would it still have been more enjoyable winning 15 games? And the answer is no. You had two serious injuries here, and you didn't win. Okay? Even with all that drama. Great teams have drama. Sometimes it sees the light of day. A lot of times it doesn't. Fights. Issues, girlfriends, wives, a lot of stuff. Playing time. Wow. Good story. Don't know if I made it bigger.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.